can't make, Kevin, we can't make fun of Kevin.
Right.
He'll come back at
It turns out it was a very, very good thing. He insisted that Harry go to the hospital yesterday. They did a whole range of tests, and they found a mass, that's what the doctor told me, behind his heart. And it turns out that they didn't misdiagnose the earlier, but they missed something big, and that is that there's a pulmonary embolism in addition to the pneumonia. And for those of you who don't know, the pulmonary embolism is the second leading cause of death among American men. So it could have been tragic. They put him on, what's it, Heparin?
Heparin.
And it's a blood thinner. And he's to get rid of the embolism. And he put him in a pressurized room so to help his breathing. And so the visitation needs to be coordinated. So I suggested that our quartermaster take care of the coordinating.
Does he even need visitation? Seriously?
Yeah. But no more than two, preferably one at a time, at least for the next day or so. I'm going to go down at 9 and talk to the doctor. But please keep in our prayers for his speedy recovery and healing. He's doing remarkably well. Spiritual, mental state.
That'd be a relief, just to finally
know
what's going on. And,
I called his mother, but I didn't tell her about the embolism. I just told her where he was. He asked me not to tell her.
Yeah.
But with the embolism, you never know what's going to happen. It could have happened the next hour. So anyway, he's comfortable and he's doing well and excellent care. So that's his status. And so coordinate with Miss Carol about so we don't have a massive visit down at the same time. I'll have more information when I get back to visiting with him this morning. Please, if you ever says, prayer without ceasing, this would be a good one. All right, anybody have any questions? Romans 12.
I just have one thing on that. I went to see Harry the other day, and he was talking about how he felt like he was being held on by the thread of a couple people's prayers. And he said he saw prayer in another dimension. And it was that a lot of people just say, well, I'll pray for you, brother. It's almost like a prayer of dismissal, just to end the conversation. But it touched him. Way to see what real prayer is, not just, like I say, dismissal prayer.
Well, I want to talk. I'm glad you mentioned that.
You want to put the mic on?
I was going to say something important.
Yeah.
going to be just your normal travel.
Dismissal prayer, what you call dismissal prayer, when somebody says, I'll pray for you, it's not really, it's really an acknowledgement that you don't know what to say. It isn't bad. I think in a spiritual sense, it's an acknowledgement of our own weakness. And so when somebody says, I'll pray for you, I used to think of that, you know, as, yeah, right. But it hit me the other day that it's really an admission of weakness. And that can't be a bad thing. So, anyway.
I think the reason I even brought it up is because I have used a dismissal. Maybe it's weakness, I don't know what it is, but I was convicted by it that my motives weren't what they should have been. It was really, I want to get out of this situation, so that's how you get out.
Remember what I talked about? Philosophizing as opposed to confession. Confession, it's wonderful. Philosophizing, it's garbage.
Is that a personal comment?
Mm-hmm. Because the first, you were philosophizing. And the second, you were confessing.
Well said.
And so, that's the power is in the confessing, not in the philosophizing. Philosophizing is vain jangling.
To confess your philosophizing would be even better.
Skippy, go to your room.
Come on.
A church we went to in Colorado impressed me that whenever there was a prayer time, somebody would express a need, and then somebody said, I'm going to pray for that, and they would immediately pray. It wasn't like, we'll pray later, or there'll be a special set-aside moment where all of a sudden the line to God is open and we can start praying. It's like, the need's been expressed, let's immediately deal with it now.
Yeah, we need to learn from that. Because it's...
What was nice is that somebody in the group felt like they connected with that need and wanted to express it.
No, that's an excellent point.
Sometimes when I tell someone, I will pray for you, I'm thinking of taking it to big group. I mean, I'm thinking of taking it to God, but we have this place in big group where I'm confident that we can, you know, agree together. So.
Yeah, but I think that the Father would have us do it, what Kevin is saying. Because at that point, when you feel it, that's when you pray. Now, right now, I'm waiting for somebody to say they feel like praying for Harry.
I think we should. I think we should do it now.
Well, again, remember what it is. It isn't me that prays. It's whoever feels the strongest need that prays. You understand that?
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We can sit here all day.
words I'm hearing is I must be about my Father's business. And that's what this feels like, is this is the Father's business that we would lay our lives down in myriad of ways, but truly not just with words. And I feel that in this moment with this group, that there's a greater sense of connection and laying our lives down for Harry and feeling his dilemma, his pain, his need, and our need for him.
Father, even as we speak, let Harry know that he's wrapped in the arms of the loving Father. Let this be a time of revelation and the knowledge of you. Letting him know that he's totally forgiven. Touch him, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Doug Duncan told me one time something that was very important to me. I'll never forget it. He told me that every time you think of someone, it's the same thing as praying for them. It's kind of an ambiguous and a generalized statement, but if you really get to the root of it, I think it's very true. And I appreciate Doug saying that to me.
All righty. Verse 11. Not slothful in business. We spent much time on slothful a couple of days ago. Means to delay. And we studied how the spies, when they got back from looking into the promised land, they delayed. I mean, the people delayed because the 10 of the spies gave an evil report. Whatever the situation is food for us. It's what we've got to see. Instead of so there's no more sloth.
Yeah, that was the only difference. They saw through and saw this food, and the other saw it as something to protect self from harm.
Well, they saw the challenge as food. But anyway, in business. Remember, I've said often that the word business in the New Testament means to meet need. And let's look at that a minute. Go to Acts 6. All hell is breaking loose here because there were, 3,000 or 5,000 that came to the understanding of the mystery of Christ on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And there was, the apostles were imprisoned. We have the famous statement of Gamaliel, who was one of the key rabbis of the time, that he said, "Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." So, and they were released. But then in Acts 6, it says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And what does this mean? There was a whole lot of Greeks. The Greek... Remember, we got to go back a little bit. Christ was crucified on a Jubilee year. But that Jubilee year from the spiritual calendar, or from the calendar, started at the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. And then and what had happened during this period of time, that'll take too long. Jubilee occurred every 50 years. And Jubilee was the time at which all the slaves were freed, all the ones that were under an indentured servitude were freed, all the debts were declared null and void, and all the land that had been given originally to the various families was given back, no matter if they had sold it or whatever. And so we have all of these Jews now from all over the place, it seems to me most of them were apparently from Egypt, from Alexandria. And some of them were from, and a whole lot of the number were from Greece and Cyprus and all over the place. There's a great indication that Cyprus was the home of wealthy Jews, a lot of them. And Barnabas was, and Mark's parents were from Cyprus, and Barnabas was from Cyprus, and they knew that this was the time of Daniel, the time that Daniel had predicted. So many, many of them during this time, they returned to Israel, expecting that at any time the Messiah would come. And so now they had all of these people, a lot of them wealthy, but there was, you can imagine the numbers of people that were in need, because they had left it, a lot of them weren't rich, they'd left everything behind. And so here's what so that's the predicate. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In other words, well, that's another story. They were so busy teaching and meeting with all of these new converts that they said it's better if somebody else does the meeting of this need and we continue in teaching and exhorting and da-da-da. Okay. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, the word business there is the word spoude, spoude, and it means meet and eat. Well, anyway, you can read the rest of it later. So, again, that's one place. Now let's go to see another place where business is used. Go to Luke 2. What? This is where we're going to go to is where he goes. When he was 12, they went to the Passover, and then they lost Jesus. And they started going back, and they traveled in caravans from Galilee of the nations, and they had to go way around because they couldn't go through Samaria, so they had to go way around into Perea, which is now Jordan, and then come in to Jerusalem that way. And so they were in this big caravan, and a couple days out, somebody said, "Where's Jesus?" Yeah, have you found Jesus? Well, it's just, I don't feel like teaching a lot today. So, in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days of the feast, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now you can imagine, they just didn't turn back. What happened?
It's sort of like leaving your kid in the baby carrier on top of the car.
Yeah, something like that. But this is, he was 12, so... And again, you got it. There was a great company of people, and this wouldn't have been unusual that they wouldn't have noticed him right away.
Jesus is with Uncle So-and-so.
Yeah.
I thought you brought.
I thought you had Jesus.
Well, you can imagine this.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anybody back got Jesus?
So, you got to hear this. They were a day's journey out, and that they had to walk 75 miles to get back to Galilee. So they were a day's journey out, however far they went, probably 10 or 15 miles, and they found him. Okay, he's not there. So they turned back, and when they found him not, in verse 45, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days. So there's three whole days that they're searching everywhere. Now they're in Jerusalem. They're running all over the place. And you can hear Mary. Jesus, Joseph. I told you to keep care of him.
This is your fault. You and your whole family.
I didn't want this arranged marriage in the first place.
That's right.
I was happy. No. Anyway. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. They mean doctors like we think. Both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they, his parents, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?"
Smack.
You can imagine that didn't just say, "Thou hast dealt, blah, blah." They really laid into him. "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now the word business there is not there in the Greek. It just says, "I must be about my father," which is, to me, that's incredible. There's no word. It's, "I must be about my father." What?
There's no word.
What's going on over there?
No, we went walking this morning, and what was the thing you wanted to say?
Just say it, please.
Things you can't say in eternity.
Things you can't say in eternity. I said you can't say shit in eternity because there's no language. And that's proof of it. I must be about my father, period.
So that's proof? What's your proof text for that?
So Garrett was wrong, and I was right. That's only the end of the story. Just say amen. Vaughn, I was right, Garrett was wrong.
All right. So, again, there, it's use. It's just implied. All right, now go to...
I could skip that one altogether.
No, then we wouldn't have had all that fun. Romans... No, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 first.
The silence.
Chapter 4. I love this one. This one's good. Verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us the Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more in this love. And that you study to be quiet. This
bullshit. We already know that. You have been saving that one for the rainbow.
That wasn't talking to you, Bojo.
Yeah, he's already done.
John.
John says, "I told you so."
No, I can imagine John using that as a proof text.
He got it on his wall.
And that you study to be quiet, Callum.
Ew.
And to do your own business. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Now there, the word business is idios, which means the things concerning your own environment, your own deal, whatever is going on. So it's not really, it's not anything to do. It's just your own business is don't meddle in other people's business. I mean, you got it? I think, no, there's one more. Let's go to Romans 16. I'm sure that Dr. Winslow's wife loves this one. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at whatever that says, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been as a helper of many and of myself. Now, this is an interesting word because it's where we get the word pragmatic. It's pragma. And it means whatever somebody else is doing, whatever they're doing, that we are to assist. You understand that? Let's go back again. That you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Pragma. Whatever she is doing, where there is a need, you meet it. Now, and we're talking here about the love increasing more and more. Well, this is how love increases more and more. This is how it's revealed. But you almost have to do it unaware or it's not love. And that's why that predicate of the vow of poverty is whatever I own, I mean, the last part of it is whatever you need that I don't have, I'll help you get it. And so that, it's not just things, it's whatever. Whatever you need that I don't have, I'll help you get it. Well, that, to help, is the pragma. So whatever you need there, whatever, it's your business is the pragma. So really, the word here, pragma for business, and the word spod for business, whatever it is, I forgot. But it all means the same. It means meeting need. All right? I don't know how I got off on all that. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. I need to go see Harry. Anybody have any response to any of this? Be quiet. Kayla?
Totally. Totally. Just said each other's names at the same time.
No, I beat you.
Come on, sucker!
Take it, big guy.